Good morning, church. Good morning to those out in the car. There you go. What I'm going to talk about today, I want to talk about the BS monitoring system that each of us have. And you'll see in a little bit what I'm talking about. Don't get too excited yet. But all of us have a BS monitoring system that's in us, each and every one of us. If you would, turn to Acts 28, and we'll get there in a minute. And while you're turning there, I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we can stand and read God's Word. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to stand before this congregation this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would be with each and every heart that's here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would go with them, Lord, that you would open up their hearts, their spirit, their minds, Lord, this morning, and that, Lord, you know that we could gather from your word this morning, Lord. And, Father, that, Lord, if we gather from it, Lord, that we would take it with us, Lord. And, Father, we go out into this world, Lord, we go out into our daily lives, and we could use it in the way that you would have it to be. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. We ask it, and amen. If you would, please stand. If you're there, Acts 28, we're going to read the 26th and the 27th verse. And it goes like this, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing, ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing, ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You may be seated now. Thank you. The truck that I drive, and maybe yours does too, has a BS monitoring system in it. And what that does is, and you know what it is, if you've got one, you turn the switch on your vehicle, and if you go to pull over in a lane, your light will blink out in the mirror because it's a blind spot. That's what it is a blind spot monitoring system that's on our truck has that on it, and maybe your car's does too. It helps cover the blind spot that every vehicle has. You realize that, don't you? Every vehicle has a blind spot. Every one of them does. Now, this morning, I want to talk to each of us because every one of us have blind spots. Every one of us have them that are Christians. We have blind spots. And they can present a problem in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. And I want to talk a little bit about them. So when we see this being taught throughout the Bible, what I just read to you, we see it being taught throughout the Bible. Especially when it comes to the unsaved, Jesus talked about this spiritual blindness on numerous occasions. But I want you to know this morning, brother and sister, it's not just talking about spiritual blind spots for the people that are lost, because Christians have those too. Absolutely, we do. In Matthew 15, 14, Jesus said it this way, let them alone. They may be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. In Mark 4:12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. John 9:39, and Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Man, that's pretty strong, is it not? There's a lot of people that think they see, but they're blind. John 14:17 says this, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then Matthew 13:15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's just a few of the scriptures in the Bible that talks about this. So to understand this, all that are lost have a natural blind spot. All those that are lost do have a natural blind spot because, you know why? They cannot understand the things of God. No matter how much you talk to them, no matter how much you say to them, they can look at you with that glare that like they have no idea what you're talking about when you start talking about the Spirit of God, when you talk about godly things and about the Bible. The truth of the gospel will not penetrate the heart because to many folks, the word just bounces off of their ears. When it bounces off their ears, it cannot penetrate to the heart. It can't do it. Until the moment that they're saved, and guess what? All things change. All things change. Matthew 6:21 said the best for about a saved individual. For where their treasure is, there their heart will be also. That applies to the lost and to the unlost as well. I hope you understand that here this morning. It takes a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost. That's what it takes for that to happen. I'm not going to, you just coming to this altar and praying, that's awesome. I love that whenever people do that. And I hope that you do that. But just coming up here and praying without the Holy Spirit working in your life, if you're lost, you're still lost when you leave here. Because it takes a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. It takes a possession of the Holy Spirit in your life. People like to talk about demon possessed and all this stuff. That's what it takes for a Christian, is supernatural possession, the Holy Spirit going into their life. Listen, now, wouldn't it be wonderful if at the moment of salvation, all those blind spots went away? Wouldn't it just be great if they did? But I'm up here telling you, this preacher, it's never happened to me. Not all those blind spots have went away at times. That's just not the truth, because that old nature is still there wanting to spring up every once in a while. Everyone who's been a Christian for any length of time, they can tell you it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Even though we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, even though we have the Bible to go by, God is still wanting to work in us. He's wanting us to grow. As a Christian, I have said this numerous occasions, and I'll keep on saying it. If you have not grown anymore from what you were last year, you need to find out what's going on. Being a Christian is a growing process. In 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Why would Peter say to grow in grace if he didn't have to grow? It's there because we need to grow. Hebrews 6:1, and I like the NIV version of it. It says it this way. Therefore, let us be beyond the elementary teaching about Christ. That's what he said. We're saying, and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God. Teachers could tell you, my goodness, they don't want their kids to stay at elementary school level learning all their lives, right? So why do you think that as Christians we should stay there as well? So there will be blind spots on occasions for us. And like my truck, which has that warning light in that little in my side mirrors, if you ignore that little light in my truck and I keep on going, there's going to be trouble. Amen? And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you ignore the Holy Spirit, whenever you have these blind spots in your life and it's trying to persuade you and to get you on the right path and to keep you from a mess, if you keep going, there's going to be a mess. The Holy Spirit will do its best to warn us. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody that has the Holy Spirit living in them, you should know this morning, that it will warn you, it'll guide you and direct you. How many of you know, after all the time you spend in church, after all the time you've heard the preaching and the Bible studies and your personal Bible reading, that if you would have retained every ounce of that from the beginning, man, how much would you have grown? Would everybody agree with me on that here this morning? Absolutely. If you would have taken everything from the moment that you got saved, the Spirit working with you, and you would have grabbed that and consumed it and kept it in there, just think about how much you would have grown as a Christian to this point in time. If you would have put it into practice, man alive, your Christianity would have been further along than what it is right now. And that includes this preacher. That includes me. As God was dealing with me on this week, again, you know, it's one of those things. I preach to myself before I preach to you. You know that, don't you? I preach to myself. I just don't write stuff down and just come up here and just say it. I preach to myself. I think one of the things that surprises me as a pastor, and I'm going to be blunt with you this morning. It's going to be sugar-free again. Is seeing someone who has went to church all their lives make decisions that are not biblically grounded. I've seen that as a pastor. I've seen people that go to church and claim Christianity make decisions that are not biblically grounded. And seeing them go right into the blind spot that is right there. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is trying to stop them from doing it. But yet they go right on into it. Now, mind you, I'm not being judgmental when I say that. I'm not being a bit judgmental. I look at it through this lens whenever I see people doing that. And through this perspective, as a pastor, this is how I look at it. Have I done a good enough job getting the word across? Letting you know that this right here is what we stand upon? And that we should be better at seeing the blind spots? You see, I will answer for that one day. That's why that bothers me whenever I see somebody in a congregation that I'm in, that I'm pastoring over, do stuff like that. It bothers me. Really, it does, because have I done a good enough job getting it across? You know, you see, no one had greater communication skills than Jesus Christ had. No one did. But even at that, look at the blind spots of those that walk with him on this earth. Look at Mark 8:15 through 21. You can turn over there for a minute. Mark 8:15 through 21. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, "And it is because we have no bread." And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes to see ye not, and having ears to hear ye not, and do ye not remember?" I had individuals approach me after a sermon, not here. This is at another church I was at. Upset because they didn't understand what I was preaching. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe I was very plain about what I said. And they approached me about that. How many here this morning would confess that occasionally you hear what you want to hear? Amen? Through the filter of your opinion and your personality and a preconceived truth and habits. Amen? How many of us agree that we do that once in a while? And through disobedience, probably sometimes, we hear what we want to hear. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet?" Circle the word "yet" in your Bibles. These disciples were the inner circle that walked with him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listening to him, watching him. And yet, they were thinking Jesus was actually talking about bread. That's what they reasoned. He said, and when Jesus knew it, he says to them, "Why reason ye because we have no bread? Perceive ye not yet?" neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Now drop down to verse 21. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Underline that part. How is it that you do not understand? How is it? So if there's 12 disciples, and I guess I say minus one because you can take Judas out of the equation. The ones who spread the gospel, the ones who evangelized the world, and Jesus is telling them, how is it that when I speak of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod, all you can think about is to buy bread? Now we know this changed after the day of Pentecost, right? Changed to a certain extent after the day of Pentecost. But at this time, they could not fully understand. There was still growth that had to come, even for those 11. There was growth that still has to come. And I'm telling you here this morning, there's not one Christian sitting in this building, not one Christian sitting in those cars out there that does not need to grow. This preacher included. Remember the sermon I preached a couple months ago about Peter and his prejudice towards the Gentiles? Remember I was outside there and preached that? Can we not agree this morning that there isn't a one of us that still needs to grow in aspects of our life? That still has blind spots? And the BS monitor needs to go off? Can we not agree this morning that the old man and the old woman sometimes can spring up? Absolutely. Because the old man and the old woman cannot receive the understanding of the things of God. It's still there. And it still springs up in me once in a while, Jamie. And I have a hard time whenever it does that trying to understand what God's trying to get across to me. Because I got a blind spot. Does it not make sense to us? And can it not be difficult to accept sometimes that after salvation, there are the old man and the old woman want to spring up every once in a while? And that can get in the way of true growth in every one of us. It can get in the way of true spiritual growth to every one of us sitting in here this morning or standing here this morning. Absolutely. Because there are times, folks, that everything the Holy Spirit tries to teach us is understood, it is practiced, and it is obeyed. Because, why? Because we like the milk too much. We like to live on the milk. There are times when all that stuff is hard for us to understand. Because why? Because we like to stay on the milk too much. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, what's it say? As newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Who's Peter talking to? He says it right here, wherefore lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, all evil speaking. He's talking to brethren there. And what he says in the next verse confirms that. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow. The word of God will help us grow, will help us to see the blind spots if we're willing to read it and get into it. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, are become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. Listen, I've been preaching quite a few years now, and there's times I can't handle the strong meat. Amen? This is this preacher. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you this morning. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know the blind spots are there. You know what's ahead. Peter and Paul are not talking about the lost. They're not talking about the lost here. Folks, can we all agree this morning that we have blind spots? Will you agree with me on that this morning? Blind spots can be dangerous while you're driving. And blind spots can be dangerous in your spiritual walk. Very dangerous if you're not careful. Do you know God holds each of us responsible for the principles He's laid out in His Word? He holds every one of us responsible for it. You may be sitting here this morning and don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. I'm telling you, you must be born again. You're held responsible. As a Christian, as a Christian, we are held responsible if we don't get into this Word and find out what He wants us to do. Whether or not that is your blind spot or not, whether or not it is, you know, doesn't make any difference. You could have a blind spot right here, and you may be thinking, well, you know what, if I don't get into the Word, I'm not going to worry about it. No. God wants us to dig and to grow and get off the milk. You may be thinking your blind spot's your upbringing. You may be thinking it's something your parents taught you. You may be thinking your blind spot is your spouse. You may be thinking it's something your previous church has taught you, or a habit that you can't control. You may think all that stuff's a blind spot, or the fact that you're opinionated, or your pride, or your feelings may be your blind spot. And a lot of us have those issues. There are a lot of things in life that can naturally cause blind spots. And normally, those blind spots, and what you understand is, are pointed out, they're not received with great joy. I don't like someone pointing out to me that I need to be a little bit better. That's wrong with me. Amen? That's wrong with me. It always has been. In your vehicle, you don't realize there's another vehicle in the lane, right? You pull over in that lane, the orange light blinks. And there are times blind spots are not that obvious to the person or to the one that has them. I have blind spots that maybe you see. They're maybe not that obvious to me. And can I tell you something this morning? There are blind spots that I know you have that may not be that obvious to you, as it will. There are times because of pride we can justify these blind spots. Absolutely. In our own mind, we can justify them or try to justify them. And they are hindering our growth. That's my point this morning. We all have blind spots, but they're hindering our growth. And God is wanting us to grow. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world." If there is a stronghold in your life and you're too prideful to try to get it taken care of, shame on you. Shame on you. Whether it's your family, whether it's your job, whether it's your hobbies, we all wish that we didn't have them, but until we get to heaven, no one is going to be free from them. No one. The issue is not if you have blind spots. We all do. The issue is if you allow the Holy Spirit and the Bible to correct those blind spots. Are you willing to do that? Now, there's what God has done. He has given us spiritual mirrors. You talked about mirrors this morning. God has given us spiritual mirrors to help us deal with these blind spots, just like on my truck. Go to James 1, where you're turning here. God's Word is a mirror that will help us deal with the blind spots. How many of you, even though you have been saved for years, while reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will convict you when you read something? Something you've been into all these years, but maybe you've read it and it just hits you right then. And the Holy Spirit will convict you. And you need to address it right then. I've been there. Been there. Any preacher who's been at any church long enough will tell you the people at that get used to the same voice. You get used to me, my same mannerisms, my same delivery. Then when another preacher comes in, and maybe that preacher will preach the same thing that you've preached, but people will say, man, I didn't know that. I've had it happen to the church. I've heard somebody stand up and testify that way. And I know I preach the same thing. But you see what happens? I'm not being judgmental again. I'm just telling you. I've heard folks say the same thing here. But listen. But they were saying is the truth. What they're saying is absolutely the truth. They never heard it until then. And you say, well, why is that? They were there when it was preached, but they never hear it. They didn't hear it. It was a blind spot. God used a different voice to point out that blind spot to that person by another preacher. And I say, amen. If you go back, and I'm just going to tell you, if you go back through the sermons that I've preached since I've been at this church, there's probably not too many topics that I've never covered. Amen? I'm just saying this morning, listen, it takes somebody else to come in, if it does, to get your attention on your blind spot. We should be praising God. The preacher should be praising God. There'll be some here this morning, and your blind spot may be bitterness. Maybe it's an indiscretion. Maybe it's a loose tongue. Maybe it's spiritual apathy. I'm telling you, that happens more than what you think. Spiritual apathy is a big thing today in the Christian world. These are all kind of blind spots. All kind of blind spots. The things that we don't want to do is your entire Christian life is to ignore them. I don't want to go my... Knowing my blind spots, I don't want to go my entire life knowing that I have some blind spots and just ignore them and not trying to correct them. James 1:21 says this, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and of naughtiness and receive with meekness the ingifted word, which is able to save your souls. Highlight or underline, receive with meekness. You'll never be able to address your blind spots if you have pride in your life. You never will. It won't happen. You've got to address them with meekness in your life, because a blind spot means that you look stupid. Or maybe people will think I'm just not the Christian that I should have been. Don't let the devil lie to you. If you keep that pride in there, you'll never be able to address the blind spots that are affecting you. If I will use this, if you come in here this morning, if I come in here and my pants were tore, and maybe you come in and your dress was tore, and no one come up to you and told you about it, or if they come up and said to you, well, you know what, your pants are tore, and you get mad about that, you would say, well, thank you, I didn't realize it, right? So what is the difference in a preacher or a teacher or a friend saying, listen, there may be something that needs to be addressed. Amen? You surely would not get upset for them telling you that. Would you? About if your pants are torn, if your dress? No, you wouldn't. Now, if you go start over into it, listen, if I go start over into another lane with my truck and there's another vehicle there, and as I start over, they start beeping the horn and I run them off over into Rumble Strip. And as they go by, they tell me I'm number one. And they blow, and listen, and folks, listen, if you're putting on weight, I'm thankful they blew their horn. It wasn't their fault, it was mine. If you're putting on weight and you get on the scales and you blame the scales for telling you that, would you do that? I don't think so. I don't know, maybe you would, I don't know. You see, Don't you see God? Don't you see God as, we need to see Him as our scales and as our mirror. Amen. We need to see Him as that. Then why do we get so upset when a preacher or a teacher or a friend points out our blind spots? Why do we do that for? Again, I'm going back to me. Sometimes it upsets me. Why would I get when they're just trying to help? We need to receive an honest, heartfelt reflection with meekness. I'm not talking about being somebody that's just doing it just to make trouble. James 1, 22 and 25 says this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed indeed." Isn't that awesome? Folks, the word is our mirror. The word is our mirror. And God's word gets every angle at us. You go to a department store, they have mirrors in every angle if you try clothes on them. All right? Ladies, you know this. Why? Because they want you to see every angle. You get up in the morning, you look in that mirror, you're only seeing one angle right there. God's word is like all those mirrors, giving us, showing us every angle of our life, trying to get us to understand, hey, there's a blind spot here. That's what he's trying to do. If you just stand in front of a single mirror, like I said, you only get one view. Man alive, praise his name this morning. The God's word shows us a lot of different angles. I got saved 46 years ago. And God's word is still revealing blind spots to me. Still revealing blind spots that I have. And the warning signals go off all the time. The Holy Spirit is constantly saying, you need to change in your life. The words of God says you need to get rid of something. You need to get rid of it. You need to cut that out of your life. You need to cut it out of your life. You need to fix it. It needs to be fixed. You need to pay attention to that. You need to pay attention to that. The Word and the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to pay attention to it. It is a blind spot that maybe you're not seeing fully. You need to go to the doctor about something. You need to go to the doctor. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Word of God trying to be those mirrors to address maybe the blind spots that are in your life. The Holy Spirit will reveal them. Absolutely. Absolutely it will. Over in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 and 12. You can turn there. I'm going to read down 1 Corinthians 6. Turn there, please. This is very important scripture for all of us. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For what are they? What are they? They are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Do you ever think of the last part of that? We have the mind of Christ. When Christ walked on this earth, we've seen his actions. This is telling me that when the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, we have the mind of Christ. You see, he opens our spiritual eyes at the moment that we are saved. But like the healing that took place over Mark chapter 8, you remember the blind man when Jesus spat on his eyes? And Jesus told him to open his eyes. And when he did, he said, I see men walking, but they're like trees. There's a lot of Christians walking around partially seeing what they should be seeing. Absolutely. But God has revealed unto them by his Spirit, the Spirit that searches all things. That searches all things. And we think that this is just the unsaved. And we think that we still deal, and we don't deal with the natural and the unnatural. We're fooling ourselves, guys. We're fooling ourselves. I've seen folks who have been going to church for 25 years or more still not able to understand and wonder why they can't get anything out of the church services. Do you realize it's not my fault if you're not having a blessed time in church? It's not Greg's fault. It's not Laura's fault. It's not anybody's fault in here except yours. Amen? That's what it's about. Still not able to understand this and wonder why they can't get anything out of the church. The Word and the Holy Spirit will always work in perfect agreement to get the blind spots out of your life. Always work together. The more you study the Word, can I tell you this? Listen, this is the truth. The more you study and dig into God's Word, the more the Spirit will work in your life. Absolutely. Yes, it will. So those who don't want the blind spots addressed, if you don't want your blind spots addressed, stay out of the Bible. Go ahead. You'll never get them addressed. I don't know about you. I need all the help I can get. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct to him?" I like that. But we have the mind of Christ by the Word and the Holy Spirit actively revealing our blind spots to us. Now, I want you to understand this too, and I'm going to finish up with this. If the Spirit and the Word don't do it, do you know how loving our God is? He puts a third mirror out there. If you would, turn to Proverbs 27. 27, 5 and 6. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. I want you guys to read this out loud with me. We're going to read both verses. Okay? The Holy Spirit's tried. The Word you've done is you've tried to give you your blind spots. Here's a third mirror. Read it with me. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You get that? God gives us the third way to try to show us our blind spots. There's only two people who will tell you the truth about you. An enemy who has lost their temper, or a friend who loves you dearly. Remember that. That's the only two people that will ever tell you the truth. Let me ask you a question here. How is your home spiritually this morning? How is it? You can answer that. You know that. You don't have to answer to me out loud. But you know how spiritual your house is this morning. You know it. You know where you're at there. You don't need me to come down there and tell you. You know where it's at. Your growth as a Christian doesn't depend upon the obvious. You know that, don't you? If you're driving down the road and you look in the rearview mirrors and you see a car there, you don't pull over there. You don't do it. That's not what should get you in trouble. It's not the obvious. There's obvious things in all of our lives we know that we need to correct. But there's blind spots that need corrected. And praise God, He's willing to do it through His Spirit, through His Word, and even through another individual if necessary. He loves us that much. The Word and the Holy Spirit are supposed to help you with that. But listen to me. Some folks don't embrace those mirrors. They don't like to look in those mirrors. So along comes a friend. Along comes Greg, and he talks to me. He said, Dave, you know what? You know, I love you, but let me ask you something. What do you think about this? You don't have to run up to somebody and beat them over the head. You get what I'm saying? I hope you understand this morning. Listen, I hope a spouse's, husband and wife's, I hope you're as honest with one another as you can be. I hope and pray that you are, because you need to be. Amen? You need to be honest with one another. You need to be honest. Parents, you need to be honest with your kids. You will be honest with them. You want to be as honest with them as you possibly can be. Why? Because you want what's best for them. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, and a loving friend. If they're wanting to show you blind spots, they're wanting what's best for you. On down there in Proverbs, it says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doeth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Remember that. The next time, and don't blow off the handle, the next time somebody's wanting to maybe ask you about something going on in your life. Remember that. Blind spots. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Stick him on your refrigerator the next time you're thinking, well, that person just, they shouldn't. You know why? Most people only choose friends based on getting pats on the back. You know? They're not going to show you your blind spots. A lot of people, that's how they pick their friends. Christians, we need godly friends that are willing to step up and say, listen, you know what? This is what needs done. That's what needs done. This needs taken out. That doesn't need taken out. You get me? Folks, when I have revival, I want preachers here. I want men of God here that'll preach it right down the line, and I hope they step on my toes. Don't you? I know we haven't had a chance to have revival, but we will get to it again. But I want men of God here who will preach the word without fear or favor. Because you and I need our blind spots addressed. Belinda, come on up. Let's get a song. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. That's what it says. If we are honest, at least we should be. Like I said, we should be honest with our kids, with our spouses. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, we should want what's best for them also. I want to see you get to heaven, and I hope you understand that. As I preach, and I'm praying that God gives me what will sharpen you. And maybe you won't hear it from me. Maybe Greg will say something in teaching, or some of the other teachers here will say something that will stick to you. Or maybe it'll take a preacher coming in here somewhere down the road. And I don't care if he preaches every one of my sermons. As long as iron sharpens iron and our blind spots are addressed. You say amen this morning for that? Praise His name this morning. All right, let's get a song. If you have a need this morning, please come.